Okay, so now we could dedicate this year L'Refuah Shleima, L'Refuah Sanefesh, L'Refuah Saguf, for all of the... Okay. Tarez M'samachas. Okay, says the Gemara. With the Maral today, we're doing again is the Bir Agayla, Bir Arvi, section Tezvav. This is about a famously fascinating passage in the Gemara. We did have a piece in the Maral several months ago, about the very immediately preceding piece in the Gemara where it spoke about Hashem davening. Right? Remember, based filosi, the tefillah of Hashem. And this Gemara continues on that. The Gemara is on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph in Brachos, and it's very, very much of the same type. Says the Gemara, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, right, this Gemara was made famous in a song. Pamachas nichtasti lahachtiv teres lifnai v'lifnim, v'ro'isi akasvi oko Hashem tzavokos, shu yoshev al kisei ram benisa. One time, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was a Kohen Gadol, said, I entered Lifnai v'lifnim, I entered the innermost sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash, and I saw Akasri El Ko Hashem Tzavakos, which is some kind of angelic representation of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Shu Yoshev Al Kisei Ram Menisa, that he was sitting on a high and mighty throne. V'yomar li, and he said to me, Yishmael b'ni barcheni, Yishmael my son, bless me. Amarti lo, I said to him, Yiratzai mulfanecha sheyichbeshu rachamecha eskascha, may it be the will before you that your anger will be overcome, that your mercy will overcome your anger, will suppress your anger. Yigodu rachamecha al midaisecha, and your rachamim again will go over your midos, your strong measures, v'tisnaigim banecha v'midas harachamim. And you will treat your children with the mid of rachamim, with the mid of mercy, v'tikhanis lehem lifnim mishuras hadin. And you'll enter with them beyond the letter of the law. V'ninei b'raishai, and he nodded his head at me. In other words, thank you. U'kamash malon, and this teaches you, shaloi tei virchas hediyat kala b'yeinecha. That the blessing of a hediyat, the blessing of a simpleton, should not be kala b'yeinecha, should not be, could maybe open the door, should not be simple in your eyes. Should not be a small thing in your eyes. That's the Gemara. If a person will get a bracha from Hashem Yisbarach, and Hashem asked him for that bracha, and Hashem is appreciative of that bracha, so then obviously it's not an insignificant thing. So the question, of course, that exists on this Gemara is, okay, you know, you can understand, maybe, you know, if you say a person who seems like the poor water carrier, and he comes and he gives a bracha to this very important person, so, you know, there's probably some Hasidic story waiting to be written about that poor water carrier, you know, so you should take that bracha seriously. But over here, you're talking about a person giving a bracha to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Like, how on earth is that supposed to be taken seriously? What would be the possible significance or weight that would be accorded to that? A bracha that a simple person is giving to the Rabbanu Shel Olam? What's going on over here? What's the idea? What's the pshat in this Gemara? Yes, in the Gemara before, we read, and that was the passage we discussed last time, was that Hashem was mispalel, which as we learned in the Maral means Hashem expressed his innermost and strongest desire for these very same things. So, Hashem davens, based filosi, it's my house of prayer, the house of my prayer, which the Gemara took very literally to say the house of Hashem where Hashem prays. But what would be the significance? Alright, so Hashem would pray. You want to know what Hashem is praying? You want to know what Hashem is asking for? Hashem would be asking for the thing which is most important to him. That he should be able to worry about the Jewish people, that he should be able to spare the Jewish people, that his din should not overcome the Jewish people. But that somebody else, a human being, should give that to Hashem as a bracha, as a blessing? And what kind of a notion is that? How could that possibly work? So this is a very important Gemara. It's a very, very important Gemara for the first piece and the first premise which the Maral himself establishes here, but the truth is that this Gemara serves as a source for a far earlier discussion of the whole notion of brachas, most notably by the Rajba, where the Rajba wrote about this both from the Tshuvas HaRajba and his responsa, as well as in a very, very small volume that we have from the Rajba called the Pirushei HaHagadai. So Rajba wrote a relatively small volume on his explanation on Agados Hashas, on certain select Agadaic passages in the Gemara that the Rajba commented on in this orderly fashion. Again, you find significantly more material in his Tshuvos, in his responsa, which are mostly halachic, but have also many Agadaic responsa as well. But here, this is found Afenort in his explanation right on the spot on Brachas Daf Zayin and on the whole sequence of the Gemara. But really, right, the reason why this question is so global, and it's not just a specific question about this specific Agadata, is because I'm going to demonstrate to you in one moment why it's significant. Just give me a minute. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Mi'ad Yetzirah. Okay, the demonstration is over. What did I just do? I just blessed Hashem. You're right. It doesn't have the same kind of a neat framework that Hashem didn't say, excuse me, Maishi, would you please bless me? You know, he said, the Rambam didn't say to me anything, but I went and I said, blessed are you, Hashem. So I was just blessed Hashem. I made a bracha, and I gave a bracha to Hashem Yisbarach. Why is that fundamentally different than this Gemara, other than in this Gemara, so they had the interactive feature, right? It wasn't the book, it was the CD-ROM, right? It was, you know, the Rabban Hashem said, bless me, and Rishmo, Kain Gadol, responded and blessed Hashem. But is that fundamentally different than any time a person is Mevarech Hashem? Anytime we make a bracha, we are Mevarech Hashem. So that's why this idea is extremely fundamental, because the understanding on some level of what's happening here is an understanding for all over the place. So let me first read to you a very small paragraph from the Rajba about this. V'inin Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Shama le'akodesh Baruch Hu Barcheni lo ye'olei mimcha ki'inin kol ha'brachas. He says, this idea of Yishmael, where Hashem said to him, bless me, don't let that be hidden from you, because this is a common matter for all brachas. Hu shitzivonu b'terasa yashleima, uveirachtas Hashem alaykecha. V'savato uveirachtas Hashem alaykecha. The one blessing that the Torah specifically instructs us about, benching, right? You should bless Hashem your God. Right? Uvyuchsiv kivayvach Hashem alaykecha l'sharz uvarach b'shmai. Right, which one could have translated a little bit differently, but to make brachas using Hashem's name, that's one of the tasks of the Kayan. Right, to bless Kal Yisrael using Hashem's name, we would understand. Right, we say in Tefillos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Misborech, he should be blessed. So we're doing it all the time. So he says, so one might say, V'altachshev ki habracha inyan haidah. He says, bracha might think that it's a way of saying thank you. Right? So that would be that make everything, you know, everything simple in terms of our brachas. Oh, we thank you, Hashem. When we say, blessed are you, Hashem, that everything was created with your word, which I just said when I made a bracha on the cup of tea. Right? So I'm saying basically, thank you, Hashem. I acknowledge, I appreciate that that you did this. Of course, that could work for many brachas if that would be a true translation. But it certainly doesn't work for Yishmael b'ni Barcheni, right? There, you know, Yishmael b'ni Barcheni is saying, Yiratzen Mufanecha. Right? He's not saying, thank you Hashem that your compassion overcomes your anger or your sense of justice, of din. But he's saying, bless me to do this. Shabrocha lashon tesefes v'ribui. He says, bracha is not thanks. Bracha means a term of tesefes v'ribui, of addition and growth, as it says, Uberach es lachmecha v'es meimecha. It speaks about if we listen and we do the mitzvahs, then Hashem will bless your bread and your water. What does that mean? That He will increase it, and He will give it extra strength. V'kocha baruch ata Hashem lamdeini chukecha. He brings other illustrations of this and so on to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do more and teach more and give more. So what's the idea? You know, there's it's written in Sfarim, right, that the idea, you know, the word Baruch, right, is Beis Reish Chaf. Beis is two in numbers. Reish is 200. Chaf is 20. It's 222. The idea is because in the term bracha is an expansion, is a growth, going to extend, right? So two is always the most basic, right? Miut, the smallest expansion is to two. The smallest ribui, the smallest lashon rabim, when it says in the plural, right? So the minimum is going to be two. And that's inherent in the term bracha, because that's what bracha means. Bracha means an expansion. It means a growth. So what's the idea when we're mevarech Hashem Yisbarach? So he says, "Utfilas Yisharim Ritzaynei, v'goyemes l'rabbis harachim abriyosef, ukinin shomaynu l'malu. Utfilas ha'tzadikim keveshes ha'sakas. V'inin tfilas avram b'fichastoyim, v'inin kol ha'tfilas." The idea is that by making the bracha, you are somehow indeed increasing Hashem's compassion to His creatures. You're somehow bringing out, strengthening something from Hashem towards us. And here, without going on further in the Rashba, he doesn't have that much, I really read to you the words which he has to say about this, although we could look back and see what he references. But the Yisod, which is one which we've already discussed before at different times, which the Maral says we've discussed before previous times, and I want to go over because it's very, very important to understand, is of course, Hashem in the pure sense is not going to be blessed or, heaven forbid, missing blessing because of us. Hashem be'etzem, when we speak about Hashem, the pure independent being called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so none of this really makes a difference vis-a-vis Hashem. However, Hashem created this world, and in creating this world, the presence of Hashem in this world was indeed very, very, very not steady, very, very not a constant independent thing. Hashem makes Himself present in this world to the extent that the world welcomes the presence of Hashem. So when we speak here about giving bracha to Hashem Yisbarach, we're not talking about that Hashem, so to speak, wherever He is going to grow. But Hashem here is going to grow. Hashem, in terms of His connection to this world, will be made stronger. And that is indeed in our hands. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured it. That He will come to the world to the extent that the people let Him in. So there we are indeed in the position of Bore, of being the Mevarchim, of being the ones to bless Hashem and to grow His strength and His presence here. That is the first principle which we have to understand. So yes, Hashem is the master of the universe, of course. But Hashem, the master of the universe, gave over to human beings the mastery, so to speak, of this earth. Hashamayim shamayim laHashem, v'aretz nasam livnei Adam. The heavens belong to Hashem, and we don't decide whether He's there or not, or how strong or present He is there. But the earth He gave to man. And the earth He gave to man, and man is supposed to give it right back. We're supposed to welcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. But we're the Balabatim, in a remarkably ironic sense. We are the ones. Now, of course, Hashem could always say, excuse me, boom, and push us aside, right? And come into this world without us welcoming Him. And we speak about that. We speak about two types of redemption that could come. Revelation of Hashem's presence. One could come when it's in its time, meaning when, you know, we proceed to a point where we welcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it could come, Achishan, I'm giving you one way of translating it. Some would understand it exactly the opposite, where Hashem will make it happen quicker, which means when we're not ready for it, when we didn't bring it. Some interpret it the other way around, that Be'ita is at a certain time, or Achishenah, if we bring Him, He'll come earlier. Right? But the idea is, in either case, that we understand that it can be a welcomed event, or it could be a cataclysmic event, an event where Hashem, so to speak, pushes Himself, needs to push Himself onto the world stage. But barring such an event, Hashem said, okay guys, You call the tune. It's going to be up to you. You're the ones who are going to decide. So Hashem is Tole, hangs His presence in this world on our introduction of His presence, on our welcoming of His presence.
Our being the Eden, correct?
Well, at this point, yes, right? Man, and then when man became narrowed in terms of the Tachlis Habriya to the central one being the Jews, so then it became Tole in the hands of the Jews. And therefore, He is Tole in our brachos. He is going to be dependent on our brachos in that sense, in terms of how He relates to us. But that's really, of course, us being Tully in His brachos, not His being Tully in the brachos, but His relationship to the world, for our sake, our ability to access His relationship to the world works that way. That is, by the way, for instance, as well, right, the important, right, when we speak about brachos, although brachos, of course, infuse every tefillah, the Shemoneh Esrei is the Shemoneh Esrei brachos, the 18 brachos or the 19 brachos. But the Gemara, which we have in the beginning of the sixth parak of brachos, which speaks about the brachos you make before you eat things. So the Gemara says, and daf lamed hey amed beis, Omer Rav Chanina bar Papa kol anenem min olam hazeh b'loy bracha kilu geizel la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesses Yisrael. A person who benefits from this world without making brachos is as if he's stealing from Hashem and from the Jewish people. What's the idea? Says Rashi, geizel HaKadosh Baruch Hu es birchasai. He steals from HaKadosh Baruch Hu His blessing. He was supposed to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And we say a person who benefits from this world without acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without making the bracha, so then it's as if he's moral, b'kodshei shamayim, it's as if he's taking something from Hashem. That implies, in a certain sense, that there's an element of bracha which is also haida, which is acknowledgement. I realize it comes from you, and therefore, you know, in a certain sense, that's the payment. But he's also stealing from the Jewish people. Why is he stealing from the Jewish people? So Rashi says, "Shekshechatu haperes lakim." Because when they sin, so then Hashem brings punishment to the world. But then why would it be specifically when a person doesn't make a bracha, right? If Rashi means to go only that far, so then a person, it should say in the Gemara that a person who desecrates the Shabbos or who eats something which isn't kosher is stealing from the Jewish people because he causes a lack of blessing to come. So it's understood. You look in the Mefarshim and understand that it's specifically about bracha. Because bracha is where we strengthen Hashem. Hashem, you are the one who makes everything happen. And when you say that you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the one who makes everything happen, so then Hashem indeed will be revealing Himself more, will be flexing more of that godly muscle of making things happen, of bringing more minei mezonos, bringing more types of sustaining foods, bringing more fruits of the ground. The bracha stimulates a strength by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, so if you don't make your brachas about this food, then you're eating it, right? Great, gesunter heit. But by doing so, in fact, you would be allowing much more of it to come down to the world. You'll be bringing more of it onto the scene, and therefore it's a great loss and a great taking away from Hashem Yisbarach if the person does not do that. So that's stage number one of the interpretation of the Maharal. Everybody okay? Okay, stage two.
That's not only Klal Yisrael, but it's the world too, right?
Yeah. But the Lashon of the Gemara is Knesset Yisrael, right? The Jewish people. And because we understand that the primary circle, again, of our brachas and of Hashem's involvement with the world is through the Jewish people. So, is for and through the Jewish people. Everything is Bishul Yisrael. That's what happened when Hashem chose Avram. That's what happened when Hashem chose Avram. Atem Kriyim Adam. Right? We become the center of the world. Something which we have discussed slightly before, but you know, we'll have time to talk about it. A very, very important piece, but not for now. Okay. Now, so the Maharal goes on and he says beautifully. He says, bracha is, as we said, tosefes v'ribui. Bracha is to add, to go beyond. To go beyond, to add to something, to expand to something. That's what you say when you see the bracha. Bracha is growth, going beyond the straight and the simple. So he says, so what would be the classic bracha? what would be the classic bracha that somebody could give somebody? It would be indeed to go beyond the simple and straight limits that would be assumed to exist within a person. And that's exactly the bracha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yishmael Kohen Gadol, Yishmael b'ni barcheini, that was exactly the bracha which he gave him. The anger of Hashem was not an anger which was out of control. As he goes on to say, right, that you should go lifni mishuras hadin. Din was what created the anger. Din means a person did X, there should be consequence Y. This is what should be as a result. And din we always see as something which is very, very specific, very, very precise, very much working within a framework, so to speak, sentencing guidelines. Right? There's a certain rule about what's supposed to happen. And the din is almost completely seen as functioning within the lines, such that when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in din, we speak of him, in a sense, impersonally. We use the name Elohim, which is a name which is used generically for all powers. And we don't see ourselves as having a specific connection. Why? Because you don't have to, right? It's the system, right? You know, you call somebody up and you try to pull a few strings, right? You say, you know, I'm taking this blood test tomorrow. You think maybe you can work on the numbers a little bit? You know, what do you want from me? You know, if you were taking a test in university, you know, so it would be an inappropriate request, but maybe I could do something about it. But I can't, me swelling your blood test number is not going to help, right? There's a system, right? Or you call somebody and say, what can I do? You know, I'd love to help you, but the problem is everything has to go through the system. Personal works not when you're not in the system. So we understand when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu with din, you know, it's this straight lines. This very, very defined, prescribed system, and it's not necessarily at that point what we would consider, in human terms, a personal approach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yishmael b'ni barcheini, what he's saying, Yishmael b'ni barcheini, the whole nature of the terms of engagement there, of the nature of those that relationship, Yishmael my son, barcheini, bless me. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, is asking for something which goes beyond. And that was exactly the bracha which was given. The bracha which Yishmael gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, not just, you know, be nice to us Jews. But the idea is, go beyond the lines. Go beyond simply the system, the letter. And that's bracha. Bracha is shefa, is extra flow. It can only be extra if it's beyond the line. If it's within the line, then it's not extra, then it's, again, according to the system, then it's straight and narrow. In order to even speak about that notion of bracha, you have to be speaking about something which is extra, which is beyond. Writes the Maharal, Inin ha-bracha shi'lo tosefes chutz min ha-shiur. A bracha is not where you give a person exactly what he needs. A bracha is where you give somebody beyond. That his midos shouldn't work just with a specific prescribed limit. So that way he can go beyond the letter of the law with his children. And that's the midah of bracha, shudavar shemaisif lasis, that does more. That was the classic and the quintessential bracha. And he says that was the classic and the quintessential bracha that he could give to Hashem. Because if he would say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Bari Minim Mezaynus, right? So then what would that happen? That would also bring bracha. But that bracha would be just for us. And Hashem would give more food, give more blessing, whatever it is. This bracha was a bracha to Hashem, that Hashem, you should be able to connect to us beyond the Midas Hadin. That was the choice here. This is a little bit hard to understand and explain. Of course, it all ultimately still will translate back to us. As we said, everything you talk about benching Hashem is vis-a-vis his relationship to the world. But the idea was to express it in terms of Hashem going beyond his Midos, Hashem going beyond his normal measure, That was what he had as purely a bracha to Hashem.
He's taking the bini though, and he's using the bini as the makor for it.
Right. Remarkable. He doesn't focus so much at all himself on this, on the name of bini, on the usage of the term bini, but it is likta. It's sitting here in this whole thing. In order to just crystallize this, I want to share with you a couple of the parallel makores, which Rabbi Hartman brings here in his footnote, which are very standard and suitable examples of this idea of bracha as going beyond, and very, very appropriately footnoted here. First of all, right, the most well-known one, perhaps, is the Gemara, which says that a person who wants to be mispalel, that he should see a blessing in his crop, right? So the Gemara says that he should do so before he counts it, right? Because ein abracha mitzuy la bidavar ashokol la bidavar amodiv la bidavar amone. When you have something which is weighed, something which is counted, something which is measured, bracha doesn't take effect on it. And the idea is, because once you have erected a boundary, once you have sort of defined it to a specific framework, so then it becomes that much more challenging to burst through that framework. The whole notion of bracha is to sort of erase boundaries, to sort of go beyond, not to be with shura, not to be with the lines, with shura sadin, with regimented and rigid lines and boundaries. And therefore, the more we impose lines and boundaries on something, the more difficult it is to bring bracha to that. We tell people, don't count the money all the time, right? The person's collecting stock, don't count the money all the time, right? Bracha's mitzuya by a davar which isn't money. It's true not only by tzedaka.
So how do you do ma'isa? How do you do ma'isa?
That's when you have to do it. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give a specific bracha. It says it someplace. I don't remember where, but it says it someplace. That's why specifically by Maisris, it says, Vayikaisi lachem bracha ad belidai. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives haftacha, go ahead, test me. Separate your Maiser, and you'll see, I'll give you bracha. You won't be able to count. It'll be beyond, you know, till you won't be able to deal with it anymore. Because usually, farkert, right? Maiser is precise, 10%, right? So that should be a limiter. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Farkir, that's going to open the floodgates of blessing to you." But the thing is, he brings a couple of other comparisons here, which are gewaldic, which I never would have found by myself. He brings the Gemara and Saita. The Gemara and Saita says, "Kol Isaac bebinyan mismaskein." Anybody who is involved in construction becomes poor. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Okay, take what it says. So he says. Not sure, I think it does. So the idea, he says, is because the whole notion of construction, the whole notion of binyan, is rigid limits. Right? You define a plan. You have to build things. You've got to measure. Everything is supposed to be that way. Right? You know that beautiful essay which has rightfully gained great currency from Rav Volba about where he speaks about Matzmiach Keren Yeshua and Bone Yerushalayim, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have two brachas for the Mashiach. One is that he should build Yerushalayim, and the other one is he should sprout forth, right, the salvation. So he says, you know, there are two ways that things come into being. One is built, and the other one is organic growth. Some things grow, right? A tree grows from the ground. The building doesn't grow from the ground. The building has to be put together and placed. He says there are the two ways that things develop, where they sort of like just sprout forth and grow themselves, go beyond their boundaries. The other way is where they're specifically ordered and structured. And the Volba used this as the basis, right? He spoke about, right? Yesod hachasidus v'sheresh ha'avodah, the beginning of the Mesilas Yesharim, the foundation of piety and the root of avodah, of service. So he says, you see the two terms here. A foundation is the bottom of a building. A root is the bottom of a tree. He says, in life, everything which we do in self-development is a combination of planting and building. Planting is where we allow something to grow from its own strength, and building is where we impose on it sort of disciplinary shapes and structures. And if you do just allow something to grow without putting on the disciplinary structures, then it grows wild. Right? If you build something and you never allow it to grow, so then it doesn't have any possibility of flourishing, has no ability of character, right? You go and you build a two-story building and you water it every day, it's still going to be a two-story building. You're just going to have water in the basement, right? Or coming through the ceiling. If nothing's going to happen to it. A human being is supposed to be a combination of growth and structured building. Very, very, very important, critical idea in chinuch, in educating our children, educating our students, educating ourselves. But the idea that he says is binyan is the focus on the limit. So he says a person whose whole life is taken up with binyan, right, with structure within limits, so where's there going to be bracha? Where's there going to be blessing? And he brings also a beautiful, it's all from the maral. And it brings a beautiful, another beautiful, beautiful maral. The maral, the Rashi says, in a few weeks ago we read in the Torah where the children were named, so it says, by some it says, Al-Kain Kara Shemai. Therefore, he called the name he called the name Levi, and so on and so forth. So Rashi says, wherever it says, when the name was called Al-Kain, it was always Merubah B'Uchlusin. They always had a great population, a lot of numbers, right? Except for Levi, and that's where Rashi explains why. So why should Al-Kain have anything to do with Merubah B'Uchlusin? That because they said Al-Kain, therefore they had a lot of numbers. So Maral says, Givaldik. He says, remarkable. He says, Kiloshim Kain, Huloshim Vul Vishir. When you say Kain, you say thus. That's a sign you say it should be this way, it should be that way. It's a way of setting boundaries and measurements. Do it this, that way, there should be this much, that much, the other. Right? Kain is specific. Al Kain is going beyond the Shir. Al Kain. Right? What do you say with your Kiddush Cup on Shabbos morning?
Al-Kain,
Beirach. Gevaldik. Wow. Al-Kain, Beirach. Right? Beyond the measure, bless. Those are some of the things that she gives. But that's the notion. The notion of bracha, again, going to 222, right? Going beyond, stretching beyond, extending, extension, growth, right? You could say. And therefore, that's what it is. And what we want is we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, so to speak, right, he was mitzamtzem. He narrowed, he contained himself so that this world could exist separate from him, but then ultimately wish for Hashem to grow back, so to speak, to fill the space of this world as well, and to therefore be subject to bracha. Right, that's the beginning of the world is that way with bracha basis. That's for itself, yeah. Also for discussion, but he does. Excuse me. He says Yishmol b'ni bracheni tevarach esi ad shenimtzu bebracha el ben bana. He does say a little bit of that. But one more thing here, okay? One more yisaid which he says here, which is also remarkable. He says, okay. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to expand to fill the world. Well, he phrases the question, which you may not consider such a strong question, but you'll see the principle that he describes here, which is very, very important. Is he says, so, but, you know, if Hashem wants to expand to behave with his children, Mimidas Harachamim, why does he need the children to say it to him? Why can't he just decide on his own, I'm going to be nice to them? I mean, Hashem doesn't have the power, so to speak, to go beyond the limits of Din by himself. He needs us to bring it, to stimulate it.
And he sort of did, because he said he wrote some of Fanai the same thing.
Right, very good. And we find in the, right, very good, you will find in the Gemara before that he said about himself, I want that this should be the case, right? Yiratzon Mufanai, I want that Yigalu Rachmai Al Midaisai. So he doesn't have to wait, in a certain sense, for the children. He can try, it could be again his deepest desire, but what's the idea of the bracha? And with this, as well, what's the idea of you should not consider the bracha of a hedyot to be small in your eyes? Right? Again, is it because he's really a hidden tzaddik that we say it? I mean, the bracha of a hedyot doesn't sound like that he just appears to be a hedyot. It sounds like he's really a hedyot. As we know, if the example is a human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not because really in secret the human being is greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The human being is going to be a hedyot relative to Hashem. What's the idea? So he says like this. There's the difference between a bracha and a tefillah. Okay? Okay, a caveat in advance, you know, to recognize is that the tricky thing here is because our tefillah is made up of brachas to Hashem, right? Okay, so we'll put that aside for a moment. Think about a bracha and think about a tefillah as two separate things. And he says a bracha and a tefillah, in a certain sense, are two opposite postures. And let me read to you what he says. A bracha is always something that you receive from somebody else. Yitzchak blessed Yaakov. Yaakov blessed his children. There's no such thing as a person blessing himself. There's no such thing as blessing yourself. Blessing, by definition, is to bless somebody else. Tefillah, on the other hand, mispalel ha'adam al atzmai. In tefillah, you pray for yourself. In a bracha, you bless something else, somebody else. In a tefillah, you pray for yourself. And in fact, tefillah, the more personal it is, in a certain sense, the stronger it is. Chazal say that a tefillah, prayer which a person says for himself, has a deeper effect than a tefillah which somebody else makes for him, right? Yeah, Chazal also say that a person who davens for his friend, right, while he needs it, so that's good, you know, hunan etchila, right, he'll be responded to first, right? That has its own dimension. But the thing is here, again, right, that's what it says, Vayishmael kimo kol anar, right? Right? Hashem heard the voice of the child, right? Not the mother, but the child, because as intense as the mother's tefillos were, the child was davening about themselves. Explains the Maral. Habracha hu shayach min azulais. Bracha is an addition. Bracha is to go beyond. How can you go beyond yourself? The only way that you can indeed have something which is called bracha is when something else is brought to you. When something else is added to you. Right? So then, you can speak about bracha, right? So somebody outside of you could be a hedyot, could be relative to your whole picture, you know, when you look at the sum total bottom line, could be much, much less than you. But there's something that they have that you don't have. And if there's something that they have that you don't have, so then there's something that they are giving to you. There's something that they are being mosif. There's something that they are adding to you and bringing to you. So therefore, there's makom, there's room for bracha. Tefillah is where the person is expressing their deepest needs about themselves, and they're pleading and asking for something for themselves. So there, that's where the person is looking to fix, to fill the holes within themselves, whereas bracha, they're coming to give to somebody else. Because you're adding something. Habracha mitzal azuas. Bracha is getting something from somebody else. But tefillah hu bakosh shel tzorchei b'mashe choser loy. V'yosru nikra mash tzorchei mashe choser loy v'atzmi mashe mispal macherim elov. Person wants to go and daven for somebody else. Is that like a bracha for somebody else? No. Because the nature of tefillah is I need. And when I go and I daven and I say, he needs, it's not the same cavernous void. He needs, as when I say, I need. Necessarily, I feel it more deeply. So therefore, my tefillah takes on a greater strength and has a much greater impact. However, by bracha, the emotions are there. By definition, you're talking about somebody else. You're not talking about yourself. How does it help? Because by bracha, you're giving something over. You're trying to say, this person, the notion of bracha is, let him grow beyond where he is right now. He needs help from the outside. That's the nature of the bracha. That's what the person is in that way granting.
It's also that when you're talking for yourself, you have no limits. I mean, as we were saying, you know, there's no boundary to what you're talking for yourself. If you're talking for somebody else, there is a certain limit as to what you're gonna how you're gonna daven for somebody else. I don't know. I'm not talking about bracha. I'm talking about tefillah.
I mean, I think perhaps it's in different words what the Maharal is saying, which is that for yourself, right, you know, it's a glaring hole. You can't say, okay, you know, the person goes and visits somebody in the hospital, right, and they see that they're suffering. So you say, they daven, oh, Rabbi Nisham, you should help this person, you should help this person, which is what you're supposed to do, right? The Maharal is not saying don't daven for somebody else, only daven for yourself. It's just that there, the person, right, but what happens then? What happens? So after 10 minutes, or after half an hour, after an hour, you leave the hospital. And 15 minutes later, you've gone on, you're thinking about something else. That person is going to be living with it constantly, right? It's not a gracious thing to daven for yourself. It's a gracious thing to daven for a chayla. So since tefillah, the idea is, bakoshas trachav, the notion of tefillah is, I feel I'm missing something and I need it, that's what the person's trying to express. They're taking on the character of one who needs, who wants, who asks. That's the nature of the tefillah. That's going to be stronger when the person's praying for himself. But bracha is not that way. The nature of bracha is that the person is coming from a position of strength and they're saying, you know, that person needs something and I want to give it to them. And I want to add and I want to make it go and grow beyond. This is the very great irony of Avodah. The great irony of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? I don't know, those of you who might be following with some of our Parshas Yom about Tefillah. This is really, really the very, very big difference between Avodah pre and post Beis HaMikdash. When people served Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, what do? They brought korbanos. You know what korbanos are? Well, let's just have a very simple picture of what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a bed and breakfast. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need a place to stay. I need a place to sleep. Beis Maloni, right? Right? Beis Maloni is not an Irish hostel, right, in Yerushalayim. Right? Beis Maloni is the place where I can stay. Right? The place where I can stay. He says, make me a Mikdash v'shachanti b'sechem, so I could stay there. So we build a building where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could stay. We even refer, right, and it seems to refer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim as Chadar Amitos, the Holy of Holies, is called the bedroom, right, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what do? Then Hashem says, you know, this is what I like to eat. That's what he says. As Korbani, Lachmi, Leishai, Reach, Nichaychi. This is my bread. This is my food. Bring a Korban and feed me. What does that mean? It means we're hosting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Like we discussed at the beginning of our learning today, the whole nature of the thing is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs our breakfast, right? Right? I'm hungry. I need to eat your stuff. But the idea is, you want me to be here, right? You want me to be here on this world. So you want me to be here on this world. So you got to bring me down here. And you're the hosts. You are the hosts. I'm the Lord of hosts, right? So you guys are the hosts. You got to bring me here. You're the ones who have to make a place for me to be here on this world. So it's as if we're the big shots. We're the balabatim. We're the fine schmeckers. We own the place. Ha'aretz nasan livnei Adam. And we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu very, very much to be here. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So Chazal came along and they said, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to daven to Hashem. So what do you do when you daven to Hashem? Say, Rabbanu Shalom, right? Let's show you around, right? Shalom, Shalom, be here. No, we don't do that. We say, Rabbanu Shalom, help us, please, come, help us. We're desperate. We need that wisdom. We need forgiveness. We need to be closer to your Torah. We need to be free of our tzaras. We need to be healed. We need to have parnasa. We need to be gathered from our dispersion. We need blah, 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 everything we need. Tefillah becomes bakoshas rachamim. It becomes yearning for Hashem's help. So we turn from being the hosts to being the guests. Gal gal achezer ba'olam. Right? Don't Chazal tell us about that? That's the way life works. One day the person is privileged. He's in the position where he's able to help all kinds of people who ask him. But you know, life is a cycle. And who knows, Lailainu, whether his descendants one day, they'll be in a position that they're going to need to ask Lailainu for help. That's the way it works. Life is a cycle. It goes around. What goes around comes around. And that's what we're experiencing right now. That once upon a time, we were there and we were bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And now, when we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not as the host, Rabbanu Shalom, what can we serve you? It's that the Rabbanu Shalom, we need your help. We need your help desperately. Right? It's bracha versus tefillah. Right? You point out, if you look at it, the only tefillah which still has the character, and even that is altered somewhat, of the Beis HaMikdash was Musaf. Musaf, right? Taisha says, right, you can't, right, even though there's a notion if you miss one tefillah, you make it up by davening twice the second time, you can't do that by Musaf. Because all other tefillahs have this character that you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things, and Musaf, what you're doing is you're saying the Karbanos. I would normally serve you this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now I don't have it, but let me at least hand you the menu. Right? This is what I would have given you. Right? Which is, again, to take care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of you. That's the whole different, that's the difference. And you know, if you have a chance, when you will do, look at the, listen, if you can, listen to that, to the Shir from Parshas, Miketz or Vayigash was one of them, about Yosef and Musaf. Right? This is a very, very, very fundamental difference. Tefillah versus bracha. And our tefillahs are expressed by brachas. The way we express our tefillahs, the way we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the needs, where primarily we're standing before Hashem, we have this terrible chazan, Hashem help us, is by sort of blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should come here and that He should grant us things. That He should be expanded and He should fill the world. In a sense, even when we are mispalel, we're being mispalel from a position of power. We're vulnerable like anything, but the position of power is because what's stopping HaKadosh Baruch Hu from giving this to us? Only us. Right? It's not, you know, it's in our hands to just say, Rabbanu Shalom, we want you to do it, we want you to be present here, and then Hashem becomes present here. So it's the great irony of Karbanos, tefillah, the great irony of the tefillah itself, that the tefillah is a bracha. But says the Maral, the primary posture of a bracha is where somebody's getting something from the outside that they didn't have themselves, and in that way they're going beyond their boundary. Therefore a bracha has to be granted. Even from a hedid, even from a person, whatever it is, whatever balabatishkeit, whatever control that a person has in the world, that's what they're going, and they have to add to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's Yishmor v'Nibrachin. These are some of the elements of what the Maral teaches here in giving sense to this Gemara, which, as the Rajba said, is a Gemara which isn't just important to understand for itself, but to understand the whole nature of bracha and tefillah, you know, and what it is.
Don't brachas just establish the, get rid of the boundaries and give the potential, or does it automatically have to be granted? In other words, let's say I give you a bracha. Doesn't mean it happens because the bracha is given. It sets up a circumstance that you can then take advantage of it. Or is it automatic?
I think yesh v'yesh. Uh-huh. I think that sometimes you give somebody a koach and sometimes you give somebody an actuality. I don't know to clearly articulate the difference of how far it will go, beyond defining a potential and a framework.
If a person needs something, so a person could give them a bracha and give it to them, or they could turn themselves and ask her from Hashem. Is that part of this? A person needs something, so we're saying, well, I could give you something, or I could ask for something that I need. So I can either ask for Hashem to give it to me, or someone could have given me the bracha from them.
To the extent that anybody has the koach to be mevarech, anybody has the power to be mevarech, that they have some special thing to give over, so then people are shayach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ve'yei bracha ha-brachas b'suris b'yavcha." Hashem gave out a certain power of being able to allot blessing to people.
But are we really dependent on them, or we could always turn to Hashem and get the same thing ourselves?
You can also, it's not the only way, presumably it's not the only way to be able to access certain things, you know, in the broader sense. But there is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right? I used to give the brachas, and now mikan ve'elach habrachas mesuras b'yadcha. Right? That was the, you know, the brachas are going to be given over to you. And you know, there is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to be the ones to give the allotment. I want you to be the one to give the allowance, and I'm letting you do it. I'm leaving it in your hands. There's a notion of people giving to other people, even in the spiritual realm of blessing. Okay, I think it's a perspective, very, very, very big perspective for brachas, for tefillah, and for how the two of them come together. Keep in mind, it's Hashem, we should keep it in mind when we saw it.